Buck fans, those Black Friday deals at Bill Curry Ford, I've been telling you about it every podcast, they expire on Monday. Don't wait on them. Go online, BillCurryFord.com, see all the offers, and there's a lot of them. And they all include the famous Bill Curry Ford nationwide lifetime warranty. And Lee, I'm going to say the two words that just going to melt your heart. Concierge service.
Yes.
At Bill Curry Ford. You will be treated like no other automobile facility you've ever been to. And you'll get an even bigger discount if you mention my name, the Sage, or Joe Buck's fan to General Manager Sean Sullivan. The one thing you got to remember, BillCurryFord.com is where you want to go for all your automotive needs, and you better do it quick. BillCurryFord.com. I am going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings again in Bradenton this Sunday. I want you to come early. I want you to stay late. Keep me some company. 4120 West 14th Street, Bradenton. It's less than 15 minutes from the Skyway. Now look, I've been going to Buffalo Wild Wings all year, every road game. So I've sampled a lot of their menus. The salads are tremendous. I'm partial to the Santa Fe salad.
Chocolate cake?
Now, no, I haven't had a chocolate cake since that first time with with the Zach. Yeah, and it was delicious. The wings, I don't like my wings smothered. I don't like it all messy. So somebody said, well, get this dry rub. Well, I looked on the menu. I didn't see anything that said dry rub. Hey, dummy, that's the kind of wings you're going to get. It's not going to say dry rub. So I got it. Lemon pepper this time. They were scrumptious. And your hands don't get all messed up. I've had the wraps. I've had the street tacos. I mean, they got a big
street tacos. We got to walk out the road and buy them.
And of course, I chug them down with a vodka cranberry. And I never pay, Lee. So come on down. Now, last week, I gave away a Shaq Barrett jersey.
Yeah, the guy was over the top. Yeah,
over the top with his wife. Loved it. I met another couple, came down from Virginia, spending Thanksgiving down here, but they went to Buffalo Wild Wings just show some support for Joe Buck's fans. So
wait. They're from Virginia, and they know all about you.
They know all about me. Now, the wife sounded British. If she's listening to this, I expect her to put something out on Twitter or something. She sounded British. He sounded like he was from Roanoke, Virginia. So there you go. And it was great to meet them. And, you know, I see a lot of the same faces at Buffalo Wild Wings every week. Now, I didn't see Travis Combs because he was in ATL.
He was at the game. I saw pictures that he put up on social media.
Outstanding.
Now, just to make it clear, you said you don't pay for anything. That's not to say people show up at Buffalo Wild Wings and it's free.
Well, I'm not saying that, but sometimes I have gift cards. And last week, I gave away 10 of them.
All right, the Ira Kaufman Podcast is on, featuring the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Custodian of Canton, the Prince of Pasco County, the Baron of Buffalo Wild Wings, and a walking billboard of Bill Curry Ford himself, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Ira and Lee DeCamper recorded live at One Buck Palace. We are going to jump right into the podcast where they're talking about leadership and the Bucks and discipline and going forward right into that Jacksonville game. This is sort of a crossroads game for the Bucks in a lot of ways, and there's a lot of fun on this podcast. I encourage you to listen all the way through. Ira had me laughing a little bit, especially on some of the Simeon Rice stuff. So enjoy the podcast as always. We're very thankful to all the listeners that have made this podcast so incredibly popular. We thank Bill Curry Ford, our presenting sponsor. Remember those Black Friday deals? They end Monday. Buffalo Wild Wings and Pin Chasers. Now, the Sunday Breakfast Bowl is every single week. It's a great thing to do with your kids before football kicks off. You know, it's been a long holiday weekend. It will be for some of you. And you know what? Sunday is another way to cap it off with family time. 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Sunday mornings at Pin Chasers. Great for the whole family. Unlimited bowling plus breakfast for just $9 a person. That includes shoes. So 2 hours of bowling, two eggs, any way you want them, bacon, toast, breakfast and bowling, Sunday Breakfast Bowl at Pin Chasers. Reserve a lane at pinchasers.net.
So they can't handle success. Why is that, Lee? Why?
Now, of course.
Lack of leadership?
Well, you took the words out of my mouth. Some people use this fantasy about leadership.
I thought you're not a fan of that.
I'm not. I just think of discipline. Now, some will say that's leadership. I don't know. Just discipline is focus, you know. One win or a couple of wins should not be satisfactory in any way, shape, or form. Should not be.
For example, you're saying that after week 4, when they went out to the L.A. Coliseum and spanked the Rams and put up a 55, and now they're going to hit the road for that hellacious trek, continue it, mm-hmm. and then they fell apart.
And I don't know, in retrospect, you know, the Rams are really struggling right now. I don't know how much value we can put in that win. I mean, it sure looked good to the naked eye, but the Rams, I think it's fair to say, are not the Super Bowl Rams.
And Carolina week two is an average to a little better than average team. So, here come the Jaguars. They're reeling. Their rush defense, I've been watching it. Mm-hmm. They're getting run over. Absolutely run over. Wow. This could be a big week for Ronald Jones.
I hope so.
And you're tired of seeing Jones share carries with Peyton Barber. In your mind, Jones is the guy to go with.
Yeah, right? Just feed the Ezekiel, feed him.
Feed him.
You know, let Ronald Jones spoon, you know, the spoon feed pantomime. Let him do that.
Well, believe me, if Jameis Winston doesn't lead the league in passing yards, but the Bucs are successful down the stretch, Jameis Winston's going to be okay with that. Stop worrying about Jameis Winston's passing yards.
I know you don't want Jameis back, but I think you're fair about the whole thing. You've always been impressed with his work ethic.
Yes.
And I just get the impression, unless it's a big con, I get the impression he wants to win. The great thing about both these receivers, Godwin and Evans, they're seemingly egoless. And I told Jeff Cameron that the thing that's always impressed me about Evans, the last couple of years, he's been Godwin's biggest promoter. He's always talking about Godwin. Godwin's another one receiver. Godwin's talented. There's not much diva with these two guys, which is rare.
And I think Godwin, and if you ask him, I think he would say this, Lee. I think he benefits from the attention that Mike Evans gets, rather than vice versa. Now, that may change as the years go on, because Godwin's on his own arc. But Mike Evans is on a Hall of Fame arc.
Yes.
Everybody knows about Mike Evans, and he tends to get the majority of the attention from opposing secondary coaches. Mm-hmm. Godwin is not double teamed. I mean, let's put it this way.
Not much, yeah.
But he's having a heck of a year. You could argue he's had a better year than Evans. I really wouldn't argue against that. He's definitely a Pro Bowl candidate, as is Evans. Now, let me throw this out to the Winston people a little bit. you got to stop with the passing yards. I mean, you really do. You got to stop.
That's no good?
It doesn't tell the whole story, Lee, because part of it is you're behind. Not last week, because he went over 300 in a game that they played very well.
He's been going over 300 for 7 weeks now.
But, you know, you got to watch the garbage yards at the end of the games. And that's not necessarily how you judge a quarterback.
Well, this is what I tell people. And I know what you're talking about, but
he's still got 20 picks.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't get around that.
Well, if we're going to count the picks, I don't think you can cherry pick. I would really like to know at what time in the game is quote-unquote garbage time and the team should throw the white flag and pull the players off the field, something like the Falcons did.
No, but defenses soften up. They soften up with a 17-point lead, you know, at the start of a
fight. Well, my argument is, why should a team lay down? Oh, okay, we're losing by 10? Let's lay down.
In the grand scheme of things, it's not producing a win, you know.
Well, and I'll go right back to what I've been saying all snicking year long. If they had just an average secondary, they'd have minimum two more wins, maybe three. And we're talking playoff run. I firmly believe that.
Now, some of those 20 picks have contributed to giving up points.
I don't disagree with that. But
matter of fact, you could argue the defense bailed Jameis out a little bit even last week in Atlanta. We got the first pick and they held up to 3 points.
Sure, but I'm not like Princeton McVicker. You know, you go to the principal McVicker on Beavis and Buddy, you just interceptions. I'm not like that. I'm not like that at all. Maybe I'm like a stat geek in baseball. I'm really getting turned off by baseball, and I love baseball.
I don't even know what WAR is. I've been listening to it for 15 years. I still don't know what it is.
It's BS is what it is. The stat geeks, strikeouts mean nothing to them. They mean nothing to them.
Strikeouts as a pitcher or as a hitter?
As a hitter. They mean nothing to them. That revolts me because, you know what? I've seen World Series won and lost on goof-ups because the ball was in play. If you put the ball in play,
it's the epitome of laying down.
Thank you.
Strikeout.
Yeah, and it means nothing to them. Now, I won't say interceptions don't mean nothing to me, but also I'm not like Principal McVicker, and I can't see past him. I see the whole ball game. Does Jameis need to cut down picks? Of course. Here's some stats for you. You may like this. You may not.
You're usually not a stat geek over there.
No, but
you're scaring me.
Scott Smith. Unearthed this.
Wait, Scott Smith, the host of Tailgate Sunday?
Unfortunately not. Okay. Scott Smith that works for Buccaneers.com.
Right.
Godwin and Evans accomplished something Sunday that was rare in the NFL. When it only has happened four times, I think it's fair to say
what's rare in the NFL? A game where we're not talking about officiating. How do you like that, DeKemper?
Way to go, Ira. That touche. All right, what? Evans and Godwin both reached a 1,000-yard receiving plateau. It's only happened three other times. Again, in 100 years, that's rare. The first time it happened, your youth in Brooklyn, you may remember.
You mean happened within 11 games? Yes. Or happened, period?
Within 11 games.
Within 11 games.
Within 11 games.
Okay.
The first time it happened, a duo by the name of George Sauer and Don Maynard.
Wow.
Did it with the Jets.
Who what was year?
69. Who was the quarterback?
Well, Joe Willie Namath, of course.
Where's he at? What's he? Where's he at?
I believe he's got a gold jacket.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you. I think you must say Fort Lauderdale.
I know
Fort Lauderdale. The second time it happened was 2000. 69 to 2000. That's a pretty long gap. Was 2000. The receivers, Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce. Who was the quarterback? Kurt Warner. Where's he at?
I believe he's got a gold jacket. Okay. He's in front of a microphone these days.
Yes. Yep. Well, yeah, that and a camera, too, yeah. The third time it happened, 2014, Emmanuel Sanders and, it was Demaryius Thomas. Who was the quarterback?
I believe
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
What's he going to get in a couple of years?
Commercials.
That and a gold jacket. The fourth time it happened, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Who was the quarterback? Jameis Winston.
I'm not saying
Jameis is a Hall of Famer.
Can't you hear Buck Nation screaming at this podcast?
And that's why I immediately said I'm not saying Jameis is a Hall of Famer. Not even remotely close to that. But what I am saying is this guy's got rare talent. You find a way to either cut down the picks or work with him, but this guy's got talent.
Harness the skills.
Yes. I love Raheem Morris's quote. I'll tolerate you until I can replace you. I don't think, unless Drew Brees is going to be available, unless Tom Brady, who's starting to show that he's middle-aged, unless those guys are available, they are free agents, scheduled to be free agents, unless those guys are available, I don't think you replace Jameis unless you go get a quarterback in the draft. Not this year, maybe next year, maybe 2 years, or maybe you're going to, as Jason Light would say, mortgage the future and buy a quarterback. Right now, I don't think he's replaceable.
Here's the next factor that we don't know.
Team Glazer.
Well, Team Glazer is always a big factor, but you don't know for a fact that once Arians looks at the draft prospects that he's not going to fall in love with somebody. And of course, they're not going to get a shot at the LSU kid. We know that.
Tua, they could. With his injuries, he may drop.
And we also don't know what his final exam grade is on Jameis Winston.
No, we don't know that. But I like you said, I think he's going to look at the big picture. Not just the X factor, but the X slash one factor. Is he going to be around to develop a quarterback?
Well,
that's another one.
I think it's very complicated.
Remember, he's
but you make a
it
good
is,
point.
It is complicated.
He's never groomed a young quarterback as a full-time head coach.
Tim Couch? Well, no. Tim Couch was a good quarterback, but he was hurt. And you ask Arians about Tim Couch, his eyes light up.
Yeah, but his 5 years in Arizona, he had Carson Palmer.
Sure.
As a head coach, with a guy that's never taken an NFL snap.
Well, once again, he had Andrew Luck. And when
he was an interim coach. He was an interim coach.
Okay, well, what about Peyton Manning in Indianapolis? Was that his rookie year?
I'm talking about as a head coach, Lee. Head coach. And so I assume he's going to remain a head coach, and he's not going to swap places with Clyde Christensen. And does he want to start off with a guy that's never taken an NFL snap at his age and situation? I think you're making a strong argument that he doesn't.
And to be fair, every time
you want to give up on Winston, he throws in a game like he did last week.
It's easier.
Which was not perfect by any means.
No.
But it was solid. Now, Lee, I want to talk about something that I think is getting lost in the weeds. Lee, this podcast has been very rough. All three of us have had our chances here, and we've all weighed in on this topic.
But she wouldn't come home.
Forget about that, Lee. You're all revved up. You got your sleep back from the Atlanta trip. You got your sleep back. Draft and develop. The draft and develop philosophy, which is the key to success in pro sports, especially the NFL. The Bucs have not mastered that art. I think that's fair to say. However, Lee, let's look at the 2019 Bucs, even with the 4-7 record, which I maintain, and I'm going to stick with it, is bitterly disappointing.
Brilliant.
And I don't want to hear any nonsense that this was going to be all about 2020 and it was never going to be. But stop that narrative.
You don't think so?
That's stupid. Stop that. This team was supposed to be successful, and right now they're not. Mm-hmm. But in terms of draft and develop, Lee, I'm going to give you some names. Chris Godwin. Jameis Winston, to an extent. Ronald Jones. Vita Vea. Devin White. Jamel Dean.
Yes.
Carlton Davis.
Yes.
I don't know if you want to throw bunting in there, but
Kappa.
But that's a lot of guys, Lee, that are playing at a pretty darn good level, that are young as hell. That gives you a little bit of hope if you're a Buck fan. Lee, they're not doing a bad job of developing this year.
You reminded me of something Jeff Cameron said last week on Scuttlebucks when he was interviewing me. He had a phrase that was perfect, and I think you would love it because you're an appreciative soul of vocabulary.
Does it have to do with Dante?
No, not Dante.
Okay.
He said the fact that Bucks keep losing, for Bucks fans, they are, quote, bereft of hope, end quote.
Wow. Bereft. I don't think I've ever used that.
No? You never used bereft?
Pretty strong.
But to your point, that one game last Sunday sure changes the view of Jason Light, does it not? To your point? Was that a fluke? We don't know. This team just has yet to demonstrate they can handle success. But if this is a sign of things to come.
A harbinger.
Harbinger, there you go. This, all of a sudden, Jason Light, the view of Jason Light flips to lousy to, well, it looks like he knew what he was doing.
And I said it a few weeks ago, and I took a little heat from it. And I said the Derwin James supporters are losing a little steam.
A lot.
And I'm not knocking Derwin James. He had a lost season. It's not his fault. He got hurt. Last year he was fantastic. Lee, fantastic. Pro bowler as a rookie. That's not easy as a safety. I don't think that's going to be the only Pro Bowl in his future. But what I am saying is Vita Vea was not a bad draft pick by any means.
No. Well, you know what? And I wrote this.
And you love pass rushers, and he's not necessarily a big-time pass rusher.
No, but you know what? He anchors the best. Well, I don't know if they're the best anymore, but he anchors one of the best run defenses in the league. There's no question. And I'm not dismissing Sue, but, you know, Vea's right smack in the middle. I wrote this. I can't remember if it was Wednesday morning or Tuesday morning, but it was about Vea. Planet Vea. That was the headline of the story, Planet Vea. Someone referred to Light picking Vita Vea as a Parcells move, and he used to cover Parcells. See if you know the connection.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you're thinking he might be another Vince Wilfork or something like that. You're talking about the line of scrimmage? You're talking about trenches?
Trenches. Well, the connection is Parcells had a saying. I guess George Young had a similar saying. And George Young, for those who don't know, unlike Woody Hayes is well known. George Young's not. But George Young was the general manager of the Giants.
Don't be surprised if George Young's not wearing doesn't have a gold jacket shortly, because he's up as a contributor, mm-hmm. and he's got a lot of support. He may get in the hall this
year. Yeah, he should be. Didn't he have was he significant with the Dolphins, with Shula?
I believe he was.
Okay, and then, of course, he built the Giants and hired Parcells. Anyway, Parcells had a saying. You draft this guy because he's a planet player. And what that means is there's very, very, very few people on this planet that could do what he does, and you want him on your roster.
Oh, man, I think you could apply that to Steve Isbitz. Isbitz is like Pluto. I don't know about
him. So this guy, using Parcells' vernacular, he said Vea is a planet player. There's very few 350-pound guys that are that good at athletes, and you don't want to go up against him. You want him on your roster.
And Lee, you know, look, the obvious comparison is Nagata, who anchored the Ravens line. They were physical as hell, Baltimore.
Oh, they were, weren't they?
And, you know, they had Suggs. They had pass rushers. But he was right there in the middle. They were always tough to run against.
Mm-hmm.
He made like 5 Pro Bowls. The guy was outstanding. If they can, and he's still developing, this kid.
Young guy.
You saw his athleticism Sunday. You saw the way his teammates reacted
light
around
feet,
him.
Huh?
Yeah, light feet. That's a good one. They say he's got great hands. Didn't you suggest to Winston that they should give him the ball 20 times?
No. I think it was Cook, but I did ask him. I said, what kind of weapon could he be as a running back? I think most people have seen. Did you see those highlights of him in high school as a running back?
No.
It wasn't fair.
He was a battering ram? What did he weigh in high school?
I think he was pushing 300. It was like driving a Jeep down a freaking football field. Well, anyway, I asked Jameis about that. Could he be a weapon? And you saw the big smile on Jameis' face. He's very dangerous.
But he did say don't give him the ball 20 times because we need him on defense.
Oh, you know what really surprised me? Yeah, exactly. But you know what really surprised me? When he let the cat out of the bag, that the Bucs had practiced using Gerald McCoy in the very same situation, but they never used it.
Yeah. I asked, I did Tampa 2, the identity with Brooks this week. And one of the questions I sprung on Brooks, and I didn't tell him I was going to ask it, with the tape rolling. I said, Derek, I've got to ask you at this juncture, did you text or receive a text from Warren Sapp when Vea scored that touchdown? He said, Ira, I didn't get one, but I noticed that Vea did not do the Beyonce dance.
No, that's what I said.
That Sapp longed to do. He looked like a natural going out for that. And didn't Winston say, no matter what, that play was going to Vea? He was going to throw the ball to Vea? Oh, man.
Well, you know what? As I was going to say a little earlier, that locker room after the game was a buzz with Vea. That's all the players wanted to talk about. You go up to a player, you just mention Vea's name, they just light up, big old smiles. They were so happy for him.
He's a very popular guy in the locker room.
Yeah.
They got a lot of respect for him. Now, a guy that we talked to today, Lee, and I corralled him. He was getting ready to walk out that door, and I said, hold on, Mr. Dean. There's a few people that want to talk to you. And next thing I knew, there was about 12 people behind me, and he didn't stay long. But
I got him literally when he's going out the door.
The guy is improving by leaps and bounds, Lee. What's the one word that he uses that every cornerback uses more than any other?
Forget?
Confidence.
Oh,
which, you know, it's the flip side of forget. Yeah, he got burned this year plenty of times, like any rookie cornerback.
Russell Wilson.
But it's always about the next play. It's always about the next play. You got to ingrain that. Right, I think Dean's playing about as well as any cornerback in the league right now.
Well,
I
for mean, a rookie, it's unbelievable.
What jumped at me the most about Sunday's game, and there were so many, you know, superlatives, you know, with Godwin, the offensive line, the pass rush. Every pass was contested. Even when Ryan completed them, they were tough completions. All year long, we're saying guys are running wide open. There's nobody around them. The pass isn't contested. They really come leaps and bounds in that regard, Lee. Now, you know, somebody, hey, wait, take it easy. Michael Thomas caught 9-10 balls against them the week before. Michael Thomas does it every week.
Yeah.
He's killing people. He did it again to Carolina. You don't think they were double-teaming Michael Thomas? He's that good, Lee. Sometimes a guy's that good.
I know I've asked you this before, but Lamar Jackson's getting a lot of chatter, and deservedly so. But I don't think you can dismiss Michael Thomas as MVP candidate.
I don't think he's got a chance, Lee. First of all, 9 times out of 10 goes to a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are the facts.
And he plays on the East Coast.
Those are the facts. Even though his team's successful, Jackson's got all the juice right now. And whatever juice is left over is going to Russell Wilson. So they're running 1 and 2.
Russell Wilson that high?
The Ravens are killing people.
Yeah. Their defense has come alive.
Their defense has come. Nobody talks about the defense because Jackson's been so fantastic. I still don't think he's a great passer. But I can't argue with the points they're scoring.
Yeah.
I just can't. Now, they happen to be playing John Lynch's 49ers. That's a whale of a game.
And it's at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, it's
what's
at 1
on?
O'clock. What's going on?
Well,
Russo starts talking about it with the flex schedule.
Oh, he already is. And he talked about that with Peter King. And Peter King summed up perfectly. They can't flex it to Sunday night for some reason. I don't know why. And so why not flex to 4 o'clock? Well, the reason for that is Peter King said, Houston and the Patriots. He goes, like it or not, the Patriots get eyeballs, number one. Number two, Houston is what, the number 4 or 5 mark TV market? That's why.
Well, as far as fan appeal, it's night and day between those two games.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think NFL fans, besides rooting for their own team, they want to see how the Ravens stack up against the Niners. By the way, as you mentioned the other night, Lynch's defense, that's for real. They come after you.
Mm-hmm. That defensive line's incredible.
I talked to Lynch the other day. He called me.
I did.
Yeah, he wanted to know what's going on with the Hall of Fame. I told him that they were going to pick the semifinalists on Tuesday, and of course he made it. If he didn't make it, it would have been the shocker of all time because this guy's been a finalist, not a semifinalist, 6 years in a row, so he's not going to make the 25. That doesn't make sense. I think he'll make the final 15. Will Ronde, let's get into it a little bit.
Well, let's hear what Lynch told you first.
We talked about... You know what he talked about? Building his defense in the image of the Buck glory days.
Is that right?
Yeah. The 4-man pass rush, the dynamic guys up front. You can drop 7. It really helps you. You don't have to blitz. That was his whole idea. We'll score enough points. Shanahan's smart enough. And he loves Garoppolo. He loves him.
Is that right?
And I said, John, you know, some people are trying to say that... You know, he's not a good enough quarterback to get you where you want to go. He flatly denies.
Is that right?
He thinks the guy's great.
But I think it's really cool that Lynch, and there's a lot of fans out there like, well, why couldn't the Bucks have gotten Lynch? I understand that. But Lynch actually is using the old Bucks that he played on as sort of a prototype, how he building. And that's also interesting. Like, we'll hold the other team, their score points low enough, yes, and Garoppolo will get the job.
And I mentioned Quan Alexander, and he said Quan was playing great football when he went down. But again, they built depth, Lee. Great drafting. Great drafting by that whole organization. I don't even think Lynch thought he could do it in 3 years. I mean,
is that right?
This is fast.
Well, you know what? I mean, I've been screaming about this with the Bucks for how long? Pass rush, pass rush, pass rush.
Absolutely.
And Lynch, look what he built the San Francisco with. Pass rush. And they're done.
It makes up for a lot of weaknesses.
Oh, yeah. I've always said this. A good defensive coordinator with a pass rush can hide a bad cornerback.
No question about it.
There isn't a defensive coordinator alive that can hide a bad cornerback with no pass rush.
And you know, I'm an old Chiefs fan, and in the old days, and I think Kevin Ross was part of it, they had a very good secondary.
Oh, there's the blasting pass, Kevin Ross.
Kevin Ross, and now he's coaching Buck corners. They had Daron Cherry, they had Albert Lewis.
Not to be confused with Don Cherry.
Not Don Cherry, but they didn't have a great pass rush. Linebackers were only average. And as a result of defense, the overall defense wasn't that good. So I would much rather have the strong pass rush and an average secondary. Now, I want Buck Nation to have a laugh.
Uh-oh.
And of course, we wish everybody a happy holiday.
Yes.
I got a hold of the semifinalists list about an hour and a half before it was going to be announced.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to come out about 1 o'clock.
Did they embargo that?
Yeah, they embargoed it because there was a show that was going to start at 1 o'clock on the NFL Network. And the same cast of characters, Steve Weish, Jim Trotter, and I think Terrell Davis was on there. And it kills me that John Lynch, you know, he gets about 15 seconds of mention of airtime.
Mm.
And John Lynch is on the list again. I mean, can't you talk about John Lynch? So I made a couple of calls, and I called the Bucks, and I gave them a heads up that there were 3 Bucks on the list, so they can prepare their stories on Buccaneers.com. And I texted Brooks, because he's very into it and wanted to know. I think I texted Rondé and told him, hey, you're on the semifinals. That's the third year in a row he's made that. We got to get him on that next hurdle. Then I could make a little speech about Rondé, which I'm eager to do.
How many people, not to disrupt, but how many people have had to do 2 pitches in a room? In the same day.
In the same day. It happens. It's rare. I believe 1 year I did 3. I did
Sable?
Lynch's first year in the room, Dungy, and Brooks.
All 3.
And I got 1 in.
Yeah.
1 in.
Brooks. But when has that ever happened before?
I don't think that's ever happened before. 3 out of 15. So
you're busy.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm trying to, and I think I texted Dungy because he was interested, and Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne is on the list of semifinalists. That great receiver.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that, but...
And so I knew Dungy would want to know that.
Okay.
And then, I think I called, instead of texting, I called Simeon Rice. Now, 2 years ago, Simeon was a semifinalist. Last year, he dropped off, so that was a bad sign. This year, he got back on. That's a good sign.
The reason why I was chuckling is, calling Simeon Rice, you don't know what you're going to get.
You don't know what you're going to get. He's made a couple of movies, which weren't bad. I'm the only
I'm
the only one in America that's seen both of his movies.
Well, I'll say this. One
of them has a woman in a jungle situation getting hunted down, so it's right up your alley. Now, it's not the Lee DeKemper story, but it was a hell of a movie. Take it easy, Lee. Now, may I finish with Simeon Rice?
Okay, but I got a great Simeon Rice story.
So, he didn't pick up. I left the voicemail. And I said, Sim, it's Ira from Tampa. I got some good news for you. Call me back. Well, he called back about 3 hours later. I was doing something. Maybe I was getting a haircut, a pedicure, perhaps, Lee. You know, so then I checked my phone and I see I got a voicemail from Simeon Rice. I pressed the button and this is what I hear. Hey, Ira, how's everything going? I'm in Tokyo. I mean, That's all you got to hear.
That's Simeon.
That's Simeon.
Here's my Simeon.
What a world traveler.
Oh, yeah. Here's my Simeon Rice story. It happened on radio, J.P. Peterson's old show on 1010. It might have been during a Super Bowl week. I believe he was retired at the time, either retired or last year with the Bucks. It was that long ago. And, you know, J.P. said, what are you doing these days? And he said, well, I'm producing my my little sister, or younger. I guess she was in high school or college. And she wanted to be a singer or whatever. He's like, I'm bankrolling her, I'm producing her. Oh, okay. And JP said, oh, what kind of music does she perform? This is direct quote.
I don't know if I'm ready for this one.
This is a direct quote. And then Simeon Rice replies, panty dropping music.
He has no filter. Lee, he's got no filter. And Lee, I don't know if you were there. It might have been before Joe Bucks fans started. I think it was. There was a game in San Francisco, and Roy and I went out there for the Tribune. And before the game, the 49ers PR guy sees me and Roy get off the elevator. We're going to the press box. We didn't even put our bags down yet, our work bags. And he goes, looks like you guys will be missing one of your star players today. Me and Roy go, what are you talking about? They sent Simeon Rice home at the Bucks, and they were at Candlestick Park. And so, you know, we immediately drop our bags, and now, you know, we're in full journalistic mode. What's going on? I went down to the field. Roy was making calls from upstairs. I went down to the field to look for a Glazer, look for Bruce Allen.
Look for a Glazer.
You know, this was the Gruden era. And finally, I got it explained that I think basically he missed the team meeting Saturday night at the hotel in San Francisco. And they didn't even let him fly back with the team. They didn't just say, you're not playing today. They sent him home in a commercial plane. Well, it's a true story. So this happens on a Sunday. Monday, the players weren't available. Tuesday, they're off. Now it's Wednesday. Well, we get into the Buck locker room, and everybody making a beeline for Simeon Rice. What's going on? Mm-hmm. So I'm right in front of him. Sim, what the heck happened? How was the flight back, while your teammates are out there fighting for their lives against, you're on a flight? He goes, it was beautiful, man. Magazines everywhere. A little glass of Chablis. First class. I had the time of my life. Who says that? Can you imagine Gruden reading these quotes? Gruden thinking that he just reprimanded this guy, that he embarrassed this guy. And Simeon's talking about the drinks and first class and the stewardesses. I mean, that's Simeon Rice.
You remember what he said about Chucky on NFL radio when the Super Bowl was here? It was the Steelers and Arizona Cardinals. Remember what he said about Chucky?
No.
Scumbag.
You never forget that, do you, Lee? Now, Lee?
The Jaguars. We've got to talk a little bit about the Jaguars game. What's the key? Do you think if they stop Fournette?
I'm not worried about Fournette.
No?
I'm not worried about him. Buck defense has been very, very strong against the run. Wavered slightly against New Orleans, but that's Kamara. You know, he's shifty. Fournette's not shifty. He ain't going to overpower Vea and Sue.
You don't think so?
On that defense, no. What I think the Bucs should do is expose Jacksonville's big weakness, which is they can't stop the run. I want a major dose of Ronald Jones. I want 18 to 20 carries for number 27. I want some screen passes to number 27. I want Ronald Jones to be the star of this game, and the Bucs will come back with a victory.
Well, here's one for I'm going to ask you about this as well. It's got really nothing to do with the game, but you brought the defense. And you brought
by the way, the attendance is going to stink Sunday.
At Jacksonville?
And you're going to be up there, right? Yeah.
I don't care about the attendance.
Yeah. Well, it's going to make your drive up there a little easier to get into the parking lot.
Yeah, that's true. This is one of the rare times I'm actually driving to a stadium on the road. Usually I take
over. You got a parking pass to Kemper?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. All right. You mentioned the Bucs interior, and Fournette's not going to overpower them. And it reminds me of our springs of mind, Devin White. You were on Devin White long, 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 long time ago. I was not. I'm starting to warm up to him. He needs work at pass defense. Run defense is pretty strong. I read on CBS Sports, they graded the top rookies in the NFL. And they only had the top 15. I think number 3 was Devin Bush. Devin White's an honor. Devin Bush has cooled off.
He's cooled off.
Whereas Devin White, I want to say, off the top of my head, the last 3 games, about 32 tackles, 33 tackles, something like that. Your reaction to that Devin White and his list is not even listed
well,
in the top 15.
Well, Bush is cooling off and White's coming on. There's no question.
Do you think White's been wronged on this list?
He
should be top 15, you think, or not?
I don't know. There might be 15 rookies better than him. You didn't say first rounders. You said rookies.
Rookies.
So, there's been some good ones out there. There's no question about it. I don't think Bush should be number 3 and White's off the list. I think that's crazy. But Bush is a good player.
Yeah, I'm not disparaging him at all.
I talked to Derek Brooks about White this week. You know, nobody knows linebacker play like Derek Brooks. Nobody can break it down. He keeps saying, one, he's healthy, which it took him a while to be healthy.
He had a dinged up knee, right?
Dinged up. And maybe the first week or two that he came back, he wasn't 100%.
That very well could be.
And Brooks watches. He says, I don't watch the finish of the play. I watch the first 5 or 6 steps. He sees a guy who's not thinking as much. He knows where he should be. And he admits he's got work to do in pass coverage, as you said. What rookie linebacker doesn't? Mm-hmm. What rookie linebacker doesn't? But he sure closes in a hurry, Lee.
Well, you said something that was very, very interesting, what Brooks told you. At least to me it was interesting. This is kind of geeky. But here's a guy who was a film junkie when he was a player.
Yes.
Obviously a very astute man, very intelligent man. What did he tell you when he watches film? He watches the first five steps.
That's what he said.
That's very interesting.
That's what he said.
Wow. To me, it's very enlightening.
His pad level. Yeah. The first five steps. The pad level. He watches all these little things.
Wow.
And he's been very impressed with Devin White. Lee, if you're drawing up that list by the end of this season, I dare say Devin White could be on that top 15.
Now, you know what I'd like to see last Sunday, and I hope I see more of it? And Bruce Arians was talking about this when they drafted Devin White. They talked about it all during training camp when people were hounding Bruce Arians. Why didn't you get a pass rusher? And we'll have Devin White blitz up the middle. We finally saw it. Why did they take so long to pull the wraps off that?
Well, maybe the scheme that they were playing didn't call for it. He might have changed the scheme a little bit last week. That was probably Bowles' best game of the year. Oh, Brooks talked a lot about, because I asked him about the defensive effort. He said, and you can find it online. You can find it at the Identity Tampa 2. You can find it. Brooks really did a good job of breaking down the defense in the Atlanta game. He thought Bowles had a tremendous bait and switch, he called it. Mm. He said he really confused the Falcons, and I mentioned, boy, Matt Ryan's seen it all. He's not easy to fool.
Yeah.
He goes, but Bowles was masterful. And I've been getting on Bowles' case. And I said, you know, he hadn't been doing a good job this season. But
I can't go that far, but I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about in terms of maximizing the talent. And I didn't like that Jamel Dean didn't play much against New Orleans. I didn't like the whole thing.
It smells like a cover of
some
sort.
I just didn't like it.
No.
You know, maybe at the end of the season we can find out more about it, or if you and I can corner Bowles, and he's supposed to be a singer. I'll have him sing an aria, and then I'll ask him about Jamel Dean. Now, Lee, Sean Sullivan is already working on the 2020 draft.
Oh, he has
that
been
much of a football fanatic.
Yeah.
Loves his Bucks just like you do.
His dream, and it's a dream of mine too, but it's it's like dreaming about Rachel Watson. It ain't going to happen. But
unlikely.
Chase Young. He is all over
Chase
Young.
He's all over. What's he want to give up? The next 5 years of number one draft picks?
Might be worth it. This guy is incredible. And on top of that, you know, he's just as good as Bosa, as the Bosa brothers. But on top of that, this Chase Young, what impresses me about him, in the big games, he goes nuts. You know, Penn State, they were triple-teaming him.
Against
didn't
good
matter.
Competition.
Yes, against Wisconsin. They were double and triple-teaming him. Didn't matter. Went wild. And that game against Penn State, and I said this to Sean, and he agreed with me. The last time I saw a defensive lineman dominate like Chase Young did
was Gaines Adams.
Was actually in Ndamukong Suh in the Big 12 championship against Texas when Texas won by the skin of their teeth and they went to play Alabama in the national title.
By the way, McCoy. Suh had a heck of a game in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I was worried about his motivation. Meanwhile, he motivated all over the field.
Okay, Ira, come on now. The Bucks turn the corner in Atlanta, or are they gonna shat the bed?
I'm torn, DeKemper. This kind of takes me back to a couple days before that Super Bowl against the Raiders when Nick Puglisi told me that I couldn't pick the Bucks. I'm very torn because the Jags look terrible. The Bucks are coming off what I call their best road win, most complete road win in 3 years since going to Arrowhead in 2016, which I believe was during that five-game winning streak that had everybody excited around here. So my inclination is to pick the Buccos, but Buck Nation has told me loud and clear that I'm a jinx, and they don't want me picking the Bucks.
So are you listening to the masses?
Well, you got to listen to the masses, or they'll kill your cat. I don't have a cat.
No, but you got a dog in the
I got a
right?
dog in the offing. In the offing. Not even born yet, and the check's been cashed. Everybody's giving me names. Everybody's giving me names. Yeah, we do have a lot of trust. Check's been cashed.
Check's been cashed.
It was a deposit.
But there's no dog.
Plant City, and the dog's not born yet. Now, what kind of racket is this, DeKemper?
Well, the fact that you said Plant City scares the hell out of me. You might be getting a rooster.
Right down the road on I-4. Anyway, back to Bucks and Jaguars. Look, who the heck's Jacksonville got left? Calais Campbell. They got Foles. He doesn't look too good. You know, they lost Ramsey. But here I am picking the Jaguars. And I'll tell you why. This league's so crazy. Nobody thought the Bucks were going to win last week because Atlanta was playing great for 2 weeks, and the Bucks were coming off a drab effort against New Orleans, and they're on the road, and they're going to get steamrolled. I kind of thought they were going to get steamrolled. Instead, they played one hell of a game. I don't think we can say enough. Except for Matt Gay, everybody had a good day. Some guys had great days, like Godwin. We saw him in the locker room. He's all smiles because he just got NFC offensive player. Anyway, I'm going with the Jaguars, Lee. You hear my voice? Mm-hmm. I'm going with the Jaguars. 20-17. I'm looking for a defensive struggle in Northeast Florida. But, Lee, we're both going with the Jaguars. Isbitz, it's up to you to pick the Bucks. Otherwise, Javier's going to be killing us.
Well, Rock Riley.
Well, Rock Riley. Why not?